you feel the most comfortable, because this is church and this is where we can feel safe. So if that means sitting for you or standing or whatever you need to do, feel free to do that. And the first song we're going to be singing may not be familiar to a lot of you. So if you don't know it, I just invite you to kind of use it as a time to just welcome the Lord here and have just sit in his presence and acknowledge the power that comes with that. So feel free to join us if you can. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. To encounter your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You can turn in your hymnals to number 310, and we will be singing Come Thou Fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of high unchanging love.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace not like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
We'll ask the ushers to come forward to take this morning's offering to the Lord.
You're more real than the wind in my lungs. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me, you're my reality. Ooh. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you.
Closer than the skin on my bones, you're closer than the song on my tongue. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. Abba,
would you pray with me? Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we bow before you. With submissive and obedient hearts, we are the people of your pasture, sheep of your hand. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for this time together. May you find our worship acceptable. Those songs that were sung about you, but worshiping you. Thank you for the ability to give. May our offering be acceptable to you. Lord God, there are people that need lifting up, people that need your care, and we lift them to you, like Tim and Nettie and Tenley and their families. Thank you for taking care of them. Lord, we are thankful for the leaders that are helping in the youth this year, that are helping Jerry. Thanks for Macy and Eric and Jessica and Tyson. Lord, thank you so much for little Simon. Pray that you would give Paul and Carrie Ann wisdom as they raise this little guy. Lord, some people that aren't able to be here, like Trudy and Helen and Jake, that are in homes. Lord, those that are a little further away, in the Congo, in Uganda, Chiang Mai, Hawaii. That's not far for you, Lord. You are everywhere. Thank you for taking care of the people that we hold dear. Lord, in this whole hurricane season, Lord, you are speaking. May we hear what you're saying. Give these people comfort, safety, and Lord, may we respond the way we need to people that are needing help. Lord, I thank you for our pastor who is willing to teach us about worship so that we can worship you better. Pray that he will be able to speak all the words that you put on his heart. And may we have open hearts, soft hearts, and hearing what you have to say through him. Thank you for this body of believers that have met today. None of them are here by accident. Each one is here for a reason. May we know that reason and understand. May your name be continued to be lifted up. Amen. At this time, Luke is going to give us a children's story. So you kids are in for a treat. Come on up.
Good morning. So, school has struck. School has struck. You've probably been there for about 2 weeks or something. How's that going? I guess about all of you are in school. You guys enjoying it? Do you have some good teachers? Yeah? That's good. I've got a few new classes myself, a few new teachers. You guys have some new friends in your class too, or do you pretty much every year you got the same group of people that go with you? Okay, sounds good. You know, when I was in school in Winkler, then we pretty much had a new group every year. That was something maybe a little bit different than in Gretna or some of these smaller places. But so I'm going to tell you a story today. Actually, I'd like to ask you a question first. What are some of your favorite classes in school? Lindsay. Gym. Classic. Classic. Okay, let's have a few more. Yep. Art. That's a great one. You have some others. Favorite classes in school, or just all of them are awesome. Yeah. Recess. That is just a non-answer. That is not even a class. Gym I'll take, but no, recess is great too. One of my favorite classes in school was always music. Now, I don't get to do a whole lot of music as much these days in school, but I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about a true story. Marilyn's rubbing off on me a little bit. We sometimes disagree on which is better, true or non-true stories, but today I'm going to tell a true story about me in school just last week. So I was, just the other day, I was having lunch with one of my friends who had just come to school first this year, and we were having lunch at Subway because I was, you know, taking him out for lunch. He had just come to school for the first time to this school, and so I wanted to kind of show him around and that kind of thing. And we're talking about different classes, and he said he's taking theater classes, and so that's fun. It's like acting, it's drama. That's great stuff. He asks what I'm taking, and I say, "Do you really want to know?" And then the conversation moved on. And then I told them how there's this small, there's a few music classes that are coming to our school, which we haven't had before. And he's like, "No way! I would be so pumped to take a music class because, you know, we go to MCI, we've been, you know, had all these choirs, and here's this choir." And I say, "Fantastic, let's go. I can introduce you to the director, I know her, and then we can get you hooked up, you can get into the choir." And this is not something I'm involved in, but I said, "Yeah, we can get you hooked up." So we go over there, and we meet the choir teacher. Her name is Mrs. Mlodzinki. You guys have teachers with weird names too sometimes? Are they all Friesens and Dicks and Clausens and Hildebrands? Yeah, okay. Okay, Hildebrand's a little weird, I guess. But no, her name is Mrs. Mlodzinki. It's like something Russian or Ukrainian or something like that. Something that came out of a fairy book. Yeah, it could be. So we're talking about this, and as we're asking questions about it, and we're getting him signed up, and so my friend, he asks, "Do I need to audition or whatever?" And he's like, "You guys are Mennonites, right?" And she says, "Yeah, well, you've probably been, like, singing four-part harmony from the womb, right? So, well, okay. So apparently being a Mennonite is the magic word to get into this choir." So we got out of there, and lo and behold, I walk out and I realize I've signed up for the choir too. And it's funny how life sort of, you know, comes and out and stabs you in the back like that. You don't realize what's happening, and suddenly you've joined the choir too. But what I want to talk about is that, as in our church and in the Mennonite church, we do a lot of singing. A lot of churches do a lot of singing. One of the things that we do a lot of singing from in our church is from this hymnal. You guys know this one? I don't know if you've used it a lot, but we sing a lot of songs from here. So why is it, do you think, that we sing songs in church? Any ideas? Why do we sing songs in church? We sing songs... Yeah, Silas. To praise the Lord. That's a great answer. Yeah. Same one. That's perfect. Well, I'm going to go... Let's look at a couple of song titles here. Number one. Holy God, we praise thy name. What's that song for? It's right in the title. Holy God, we praise thy name. We're praising God. Let's look at another one. How about, number 20. Praise thou the Lord, O my soul. Same thing. Let's flip over. What do we got? 95 I had marked down as a... So you got an All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. What's that one about? Same thing. Praising Jesus, praising God. We've got... Oh, maybe... What about 601? 601 is a... I know, is a good one. 601, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Again, same one. 606, good old classic. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That is my response as well. So all these songs, lots and lots of these songs are all about praising God. And I would say that is probably the most important reason we sing songs in church. And we sing songs in Sunday school. Rudy was talking a bit about this, about that last week. And yeah, it's a big part of what we do here. And I think that's important that we know that. That's why we're doing it. We're singing songs because we want to praise God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of music and the gift of songs. Thank you that we're able to use that to glorify you. I pray that we would know that and we would remember that as we sing songs in school and in Sunday school and in church. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats.
For this next song, you can grab those hymnals again. And we are going to be singing Holy, 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 which is number 5.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break, his broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
You can take a seat.
Our scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. From Isaiah 95. The psalmist is very clear. One of the first reasons why worship is so important and why praise is so necessary is because it reminds us of who we are in light of who God is. We are the ones who bow with bended knee. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. We are not God. We worship God. The writer would not have understood our modern language when we talk about a self-made man. Such a concept would appear foreign, and I suspect even ludicrous. Because all we are and what we have comes from the hand of a gracious God. As we mentioned last Sunday, one possible definition of worship would be, worship is our glad response to the immense grace of a triune God. We also said that we were created to worship, and we will always worship something or someone, and so worship actually defines our life. Our lives are only as good as our worship. And based on Psalm 148, we also stated that we have been given praise as our dignity and power. Or to put it otherwise, God has given to us dignity and power expressed through our praise in worship. It gives us dignity and power to proclaim who we are in Christ. Praise is our place. It is our purpose. And so I asked last Sunday, what are some of your most memorable worship experiences? What would they be? For me, some of the ones that come up most immediately are the experiences of singing in various choirs, all the way from youth choir at the Whitewater Church to Faith and Life concerts, Southern Manitoba Choral Society. The experiences of worship through music have been profound. Congregational singing at my dad's funeral. It was an unexpected unexpected experience of sitting in the front row, and you have this large volume of music that sings these profound hymns of our faith precisely at the death of someone who you truly miss and who you have always loved. And to hear that affirmation of faith that arises at that moment was for me an unexpected and profound experience. Surely those of you who have worked on the fields and long before cabs ever came into existence have sung on the fields. I don't think there's anybody who hasn't. I would guarantee. I kind of wonder. Singing out in the field where nobody can hear you and making your voice heard, that's pretty awesome. We used to do a lot of our bailing of our feet at night because it was got too dry during the day. And I still remember the one particular night when it was about 2:30 in the morning. And we have some northern lights here from time to time, but that particular night, Those northern lights, they came across the sky and must have filled between 2/3 and 3/4 of the sky. I have never, ever seen that in southern Manitoba. It's really unheard of that there would be that array of brilliance, changing colors and patterns in a silent exhibition of worship. And you simply stop the tractor and you watch for a long time. That was amazing to see that. To experience that. There's a particular communion service at Elam Bible School where we were gathered at one of our final farewells for our class that had been together for 2 years, and we shared this communion service I will never forget. Experiences with the eagle, various experiences with the rainbow, anointing services, have all been very profound. What have been worship experiences which has left you feeling disconnected and ill at ease? The simple answer for me is performance-based worship, where it's a production which can come through the speaker or musicians. The focus is on the performers, not on God or God-directed. It is possible to train people to be audiences, not participants. And I think that's always something we need to guard against and to untrain it, always. So what do we do in worship? Here's the suggested list. We move from individuals to being a community. We name the God we worship and acknowledge God's presence. We praise God for who God is. We speak honestly to God about ourselves and receive assurance of God's love and forgiveness. We listen for God's word to us. And we thank God for what God has done. We call God into the difficult circumstances of our lives and of our world. We reaffirm our commitment to God and we leave with the promise of God's presence. Notice how God is listed in all but one of those items. So that leaves us with two reflections, two rather obvious. First, we should never forget who we are coming to worship. And we should not forget whose church it is. Not only this one here in Rosetown, but also the broader worldwide church. It isn't our church. It's not my church. This is the church of God. And Paul mentions it often in his letters. For example, the church of God, he says, in Corinth. That the church has stood the test of time throughout all church history, in spite of its divisions and splits and arguments over doctrine, schisms and heresies, and despite it being filled with fallible people, it is still the church of God. And that it has stood and continues to stand, I believe, is a testimony to the power and working of the Spirit of God. There is no other reason why it should continue to exist. So if God is the focus, we are led to the question such as, how well does our form of worship and all the elements of it enable people to be with God? What idols tempt us away from worshiping the only true God? And if we would check, I think there'd be quite a list. Do we have a big enough God? How will true worship change our character? And what kinds of music should we use? What will be the result of genuine worship? Firstly, from our text it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah had this incredible, profound encounter with God in worship. Our eyes are open to see God, to get a glimpse of who God is. I always appreciate the ancient liturgy which begins with, the Lord be with you. And the people respond, and with you. And then it goes on. The leader says, lift up your hearts. And the people say, we lift them up to the Lord. And the leader says, finally, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And the people say, it is right to give our thanks and praise. And the reason for the liturgy, because it draws our attention first to God. Everything about this place reminds us that it is special. We do here what we don't do anywhere else. We come here as a community to assemble with the community of saints, past and present, people of God, for the purpose of worship, education, fellowship, and service, which will equip us to be the church throughout the week. Because we live in a world that is determined to live as if God were dead and didn't matter. We also live in a world which continually encourages us to live as strangers. At the same time, we live in a time when people are hungry for the presence of God in their lives, even if they don't acknowledge it. To know and experience something beyond themselves. In our postmodern times, many people are looking for moral underpinnings, some basis for security, some promise of safety, and some hope for a radiant future. There is a hunger for mystery that simply won't go away. Worship needs to acknowledge this. If not, people will satisfy their hunger somewhere else. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you ever notice that? Where is his glory evident? We often think in heaven, for sure, yeah. But he says the whole what? The whole earth is full of his. Do we view this earth as being full of God's glory? We sang the song this morning, the evidence is all around. Well, where? What? Have we ever, do we notice the evidence? I wonder if we opened, as Benito reminded us this morning, opened our ears and opened our eyes to see that evidence, would we see more of it? Would we also be able to exclaim with Isaiah that, yes, the whole earth is full of God's glory and that holy is the Lord? You see, so often the temptation is to make God in our image. And if we make God in our image, I have an image of a nice, cozy, comfortable God, one who never challenges me, one who never questions me, one who never judges me, one who never calls me to account, because I don't like that kind of a God. Oftentimes our God is too small. And what happens is, one of the things that happens then is, instead of God becoming bigger, we tend to make people smaller. I mentioned that last Sunday, but I didn't explain it more, so here's a little more explanation. For example, in the world of advertising and commerce and trade and economics, people are viewed only as consumers. You dumb them down to see them only as consumers. They are consumers of products, and they are only there to buy things and to consume things, so we will treat people as consumers. Shareholder profits are placed above all else, including the value, expertise, and humanity of those on whose backs the profits are earned. It's amazing to hear the stories of those who work at checkout counters or who work at customer service places. Would you ever want to work there? When you hear their stories, that's amazing. The kind of rudeness that they experience. I can't believe it. These people are our servants. And so we treat them as such. And we forget who they really are. I get continually irritated by politicians who treat people as second-class citizens. That just irritates me. In our digital age, do you think that we would believe everything that comes out of their mouth to gain political points? I just don't think so. Are we only there to provide votes? Let's just give it a break. Anyway, I won't go on. You get my point. The other thing that I wonder is, we become convinced that anything virtual or online is better than real work, real world work, and friendships. I think there's a danger there. Technology which constantly interrupts conversations and visits. It's interesting that Apple founder Steve Jobs was a low-tech parent who limited technology use in his home. The family took tech-free dinners every night, and his own children had to get along without iPads. They had none of that. And the reason was that he and his business partners knew the power of what they were selling and creating. So how about something a little other? There's this elderly couple that's walking down the mall a very, very crowded mall during the Christmas season. One of the last shopping days, and they are simply taking their time, and there's so many people, and everything's crowded, and people are annoyed at them because they are backing up traffic, and people can't get to where they want to go. But you see, the people don't know that this couple, one of them has received a diagnosis which tells them that they will not be here next Christmas. This is going to be their very last Christmas. And so one more time, they are walking down the mall, where they have walked many times before. It's where they bought gifts for their children. It's where they bought gifts for each other. It's where they decided on this and that and everything else. And one more time. And it's the last time. And nobody else knows that. How about the pizza place that received a call for a delivery to a local church? And they thought the address was kind of suspect. Something seemed odd, considering the time of day, but when the driver got there, she was asked to come up to the front of the church. And the pastor explained that they had taken a collection, and they wanted to give her $1,046 that they had collected in person. They wanted to give it to her in person. He said, we're not really sure what's going on in your life right now, but here is this money that we have collected, and you can use it for whatever you need to. And she was so taken aback by this, she said, oh, you have no idea. There is so much going on in my life right now. And she just began to weep. She was so, so very grateful. How did they know? How did she? I don't know. But somebody knew. And somebody acted, and somebody was obedient. Some would say her job was rather lowly. She was the cleaning lady who cleaned offices at night when nobody was around. She wanted her work to glorify God, but how could she do this? Everybody was gone. Well, she thought the least she could do was at least do a good job. Menial as it was, same kind of thing every day, but she would do a good job. So, she also decided she would pray for the people whose offices she cleaned. Some had family photos on their desks that she noticed, and so she prayed for all these family members. Then she took it a little further, and she started to write notes for one person every day. Things like, I hope you have a refreshing evening and that you are blessed as you come to work tomorrow. Love, the cleaning lady. One night, several months later, she started her work as usual. She was fetching her cleaning cart from the closet and was shocked when people jumped up from all behind their desks and a cart with punch and cake appeared and they all said, we just needed to meet you. We all noticed how the atmosphere in this place has changed over the past months. People seem to be getting along better, they're doing better work, and even our customers have commented about the changes. We couldn't figure it out until we all started to share the notes that we have been receiving. We think you're the cause. And we wanted to meet you and we wanted to thank you. How many opportunities are there for us not to treat people smaller? Because when our God becomes bigger, then we treat people differently. It just follows. It just does. We're more in tune with the realization that they are also created in the image of God. Read the account in Exodus 19. The people of Israel understood that really well. God called them to the mountain and said, I want you to prepare yourself. And the mountain was filled with smoke and there was thunder and lightnings and earthquakes. And yeah, they got it. They got it. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? They were supposed to, you know, they wanted to sell their land and give the money so that it could be distributed by the church to give to people who were in need. And they decided they would keep some for themselves. So he brought the money to the church. And did you sell land? Yeah, we sold land. Is this the money? Yeah, this is the money. Well, how come it's not all of it? And what happened to Ananias? Man, he died right there. And they carried him out, and his wife came in later, and she said the same thing, and they carried her out. You'd think that Peter would have been a little more understanding. You'd think he missed a class in pastoral care. Like, we could work something out. If you didn't pay it all now, I mean, you could make some kind of payments. Let's work this out. Let's not be so harsh. Some have suggested those were the days when church meetings were something to go to because things happened. People died. Gee, can you imagine? You know, and it says at the very end, you notice what the comment is? It says, great fear fell upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Yeah, I guess great fear. Yeah, I think they're quite right in their comment. Oh, my goodness. This is a big God. You don't mess with this. You don't be disrespectful. Remember when, for those of you who were downstairs listening to some of Benito's testimony this morning, and when they took him to that judge at 3 o'clock in the morning, all handcuffed, and she got him released and actually told him to go and gave him money for the taxi and all that, he didn't quite finish that story. He said that later he went back a couple months later to say thank you to the judge. And he found out that in that court place, in that place where they were, there has never, ever been a record of a woman judge. In Mexico? No, that doesn't happen. There was no record of a woman judge there. And when his name is printed into a criminal record check, the page that comes up is absolutely blank. There is no record of anything. It's totally wiped clean. There's nothing. It's gone. He has an amazing story to tell about a big God in his life who took him from being a leader of 200 people in the drug cartel that he worked with to being a pastor in a church and someone who runs is looking at running a drug rehabilitation center for a lot of former people that he once knew. And all the risks and all the threats and all the intimidations that come with all of that. I have to admire his perseverance. His courage, his absolute courage. But he says, no, it's not me, it's God who put me here. As I said to God, if you will get me out of jail, I will serve you. And the woman judge who told him, I've done my part, you need to keep your word. Walter was talking some time ago, I remember, about the size of the stars. I didn't think they were that big. You know that one of these, I think you said an average star, well, for back up a little bit, the distance between the Earth and the Sun is 93 million miles, what I remember from kindergarten or grade one or whatever it was. One thing I remember. That's a long way. Light travels at the speed of, 186,000 miles per second. It takes 8-9 seconds to reach from the Sun to the Earth. 667 million miles an hour, if you translate that into miles per hour. If you travel at that speed for 50,000 years, you get halfway across our galaxy. And there are hundreds and millions of other galaxies out there beyond. There's a lot of room. There's a big space. But you take one of these average stars and you fit it in between the Earth and the Sun, and it will barely fit. That is how big this star is. That's just one star that blinks out there. I think the true miracle, though, is that despite that vastness, and you know Psalm 8 says, who are we that you are mindful of us? Why should God pay attention to this little bit of creation here? It's not even on the radar. But I think the miracle is that it's big time on the radar. That's the miracle, the care and compassion that God shows. Secondly, in worship, our eyes are open to see ourselves. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In comparison to God's glory, Isaiah experiences this profound realization of his total unworthiness before God. It's a necessary stance so we don't take God's gracious mercy and steadfast love for granted, as if we deserved it, or could earn it, or could even pay it back. There's no cheap grace here. We need to keep the scriptural tension alive between fear and love in our relationship with God so that we can genuinely worship, because we always have the tendency to fall off one side or the other. We either are so fearful of God and so that we want nothing to do with this God, or we are so on the flip side of just everything is all love that there is no respect and no reverence. We need to keep them both. We tremble in God's presence because our sinfulness has consequences. Psalm 96 reminds us that we have no right to worship God because our sinfulness has consequences, and we tremble in God's presence. An awareness of this always should fill us with profound wonder at the great privilege of worship, the enormous gift of God's pardon. Our lives are immensely changed if worship frees us to live as forgiven saints, instead of encumbered sinners, loaded with regrets and faults. I believe in this passage, God speaks to the heart of what is always at the human dilemma. The big dilemma and the big question, what do we do with our guilt? What do we do with our sin? And as I've mentioned before, people say we should not talk about sin because it makes people uneasy. We need to leave that alone. I would argue that we do need to talk about sin because our world is full of people who are starved for genuine forgiveness. Forgiven by God, that is truly a gift. Benito talks about the profound, absolutely profound experience of being able to walk out of that courtroom as a free man, and how it seemed to him as though the heavens actually opened and there was a view of God that he has never encountered before. To be liberated in that way. That's the best good news. And lastly, number three, in worship, our eyes are open to see God's world. To be sent out in mission, in all of the beautiful as well as all the despairing places of this world. All of it. Worshiping God will form us to be bearers of God's love to all of our neighbors. And worship gives to us the language of faith so we can talk about security and hope, something to stem the tide of anxiety, doubt, and fear in the midst of global, political, and economic insecurities. So we can learn to live as Christians regarding time and money and possessions, sexuality and marriage, family and work, and power, and relationships with others and with God. The language of faith we learn in worship tells us who we are, reminds us of our identity in relationship with God and neighbors. It upholds and nurtures our vision of how we are different and why that matters and why that is important. Worship will always change us if we respond earnestly and wholeheartedly to all that God is. Through worship, we become more deeply formed to worship God in all that we think and say and do in our daily life. Indeed, all of life is worship if we live in gratitude and reverence, with mindfulness of God and eagerness to serve God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Join us for the closing song.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. Selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Get clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Let's pray. We praise you, O God, for being with us in this special time and place. Lead us forth with courage to be witnesses of your work in this world. Let us not forget your name or your power. Let us not miss your glory in the mundane. Let us not trample on holy ground. Through Christ we pray. The Lord bless you and keep you now and always. Amen. Let's sing together our table grace for, and we are invited downstairs to participate in the noon meal. God is great and God is good. Let's sing.
God is great and God is good. Let